Welcome, welcome. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Well, at least for KMOX, hour one for KFTK. We've got another station joining us here. So we're here. We're live. We're ready to go for you. I'd love to help you out. Your home, your topic, your concerns, your questions is what we have going on today right here on the Home Improvement Show. You can find me 314-436-7900. Get you right in here. And in the last hour, we had a question about some planning of a kitchen job and kind of went over some of the stuff that all the processes that we would go through with myself, with Mosby Building Arts, trying to pre-plan and get all this stuff in order. Now imagine taking that and go to the outside of your home and apply that to what we call a storm chaser, a contractor that's following major weather events from town to town, just doing work, and try and see when you go to that, how does that really work out? We discussed how hard it is with people from around here and how there's so many different ways to do work, to perform work, to have it accomplished at different investment levels, and how you get through it and take it out there with somebody that's not even from around here. There's a lot of planning and questions you might want to ask in that situation for sure. We're going to put that on hold for just a minute. We've got Gail on the line. Let's see what's happening. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, on my house, I have an old house, and the top cornice, that white piece across the very top of the house, a part of it has, like, come loose from the house, like about 14 inches vertically from the south corner.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I got the new TPO roof last October, and they actually put a drip edge across the top of that cornice. So, like, a week before the tornado, I happened to look up and happened to notice, because you're always telling us to look up at the house.
Yeah, yeah.
That had came loose, the cornice part. And so I did call my roofing company, and they did come out, like, 3 days before the tornado, and they said, oh, well, I'll get back with you in 3 or 4 days, but, that's not a roofing problem, which I knew, but I just wanted somebody to fix it, to attach it back some kind of way.
Sure, yeah.
And so anyway, then the tornado happened. Of course, I didn't have the heart to call them because I know they're probably super busy. So, but in the meantime, I thought I'd call you. What other type of contractor or who do you think I could get to repair something like that?
Well, you're basically looking for a mixture of a carpenter. Some painters have enough skill to do some of that carpentry on the outside because When they're painting the outside of older homes, there's a lot of rotted wood, and they end up replacing quite a bit of it. So a really high-skilled painter that has some carpentry experience might be able to do it.
Or I'm not even sure if that's wood or if it's metal. You know, it doesn't really look like wood.
So it depends. If it is metal, it could be wood, because you were near the tornado. How old was your house?
House was built in 1906. I'm a half mile west of about the serious, devastation. About a half mile from King's Highway going to the west.
Yeah, so it could be wood underneath there with metal that was put over it, or it could be really old actual metal that's like copper metal. Is it white? Did they paint it at some time?
It is white.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's metal, then you might be into more of a siding company that can bend new metal. If it depends on if it's like an aluminum capping over wood that somebody added over it. Cause a lot of those old houses, as that wood started getting really bad, they put that metal over top of it in hopes of never having to paint again. And then that happens where the wood goes bad, the metal pulls away, the wind blows it, and you end up with the metal pulling away and possibly some wood behind it. And siders are usually that can do that metal are usually pretty good with putting a piece of wood, new piece of wood back behind it before they put metal on if it needs to be replaced. They're usually fine. So if it's that metal, then you're looking for like a siding company. This is something that Mosby Building Arts has all the exterior people to take care of something like this. So you can consider calling and having us come out and look at it too.
Okay.
Because we
okay.
do all that exterior work as well.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good too. And it's not like a wide crack, but it's a noticeable, mm-hmm. you know, vertical crack, you know, how it's separated from the house. So I'm trying
to sounds like a pretty tall board.
I would probably say it's maybe 16 inches, you know, long, deep, you know, down 16 to 18 inches maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give Mosby a call maybe next week and see if they can have somebody come out and look.
Yeah. Nope. We could definitely do that for you. 314-909-1800 is that phone number to get into Mosby. And if not, we can recommend somebody too if it gets into something. But this is definitely something that we take care of. So you should
okay.
be fine
okay.
there for
yeah,
sure.
I would definitely give you guys a call. Now, it's funny because the roofing company, that they also do siding, and that was part of the reason why I kind of called them.
So they might be able to do it, yeah, for sure.
But if they're like, roofing you know, really companies, smart with roofs, I understand that as well, too.
Yeah, and with the storms, the tornado, the different hailstorms we've had so much this spring, roofing companies are inundated. And now with the tornado and those old buildings, I just had last week, we were trying to get some quotes on scaffolding, having scaffolding installed. And we called a couple places that they were like, we'll give you a ballpark figure over the phone because we won't even come look at it right now because they have so much going on with all of that they're like, we don't even want to come look at it. Like, how tall is it? How wide? You know, so we kind of had to explain to them to just even get them to say, yeah, you're probably going to be around here because they just don't even have the manpower to look at everything that's needed to take place out there, much less perform it all.
Right, exactly. And I understand. That's why I was just like, well, I'm just going to hold off for about a month because mine looks no worse than, you know, the day before the storm or anything. And I know people are in a lot worse shape than me, but I also don't want mine to really get worse either. You know?
Yeah, you don't want something blown away getting way worse on you. So, yep, I would.
All righty. Well, thanks a lot.
No problem. You're welcome. Thanks for the call. And I would definitely advise going ahead and getting on that and trying to, because that preventive up front, get to something while it's a little easier, it's a little simpler. It's one of the main reasons here at Mosby we're getting into this whole service and maintenance program is to say, let good professional people look over, do inspections regularly, and really understand and be able to describe and explain, and if we can do things early enough, it can be a lot just less painful and waiting and going, it's not looking too bad, and then we get a big storm and a lot of wind and it blows off a whole big giant chunk, and then you're like, oh wow, wish I would have got to that sooner, maybe that wouldn't have happened. So definitely the sooner the better, the more often the better for your looking and inspections. And something every year is not a bad idea. It can really help you out in the end, in the future. So, hey, and I can really help you out here today. We've got plenty of time left all the way to 1 o'clock. So whatever you have going on, we're going to take a short break. 314-436-7900 finds me right here, right now. Don't go anywhere. More home improvement after this. All right, here we go. We are rolling through this. Boy, is time flying. Having a great time. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you, back from vacation, feeling revived, ready to go, hopefully helping everybody out there. We've got a lot we've been talking about. And if you need anything, again, right here today. We've got a lot of time left. 314-436-7900. We'll get you right to me, your topic, your concerns, your questions, whatever you have going on. We'd love to help you out. And speaking of helping out, let's go to Randy and see what's happening with Randy in his front door. Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Yeah, hi. Doing well, thank you.
Good.
I give you a brief description. My house was built in the mid-60s, and it's got what looks from the outside like two doors.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, one side is a facade, and so if you look at the backside inside the house, a wall does tee into the backside of that door. And I would like to replace the right side, which I can mention is wooden. But when you look at the door, it looks like over time somebody shaved the door. So
okay,
that when you close it, it closes a little easier. I guess my question is, do I attempt to have just one door replaced, or do I replace the, you know, have to take the wall out actually behind? It's about a 3-foot section of wall that tees into it. Or do I take out both and redo the whole thing?
Yeah, so what you're describing is your hallway from the inside of the house is only like 4 feet or so wide, but your door from the outside of the house looks like a French opening door that's like 6 feet wide.
Right, correct.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, and that's a tough thing that it's kind of like one of those lost art things that I don't really know anybody that makes those doors like that anymore, that would be able to replace the whole 6-foot unit from the outside. It's also not a great way to insulate because you've got part of a door into kind of a wall system that you don't have a lot of insulation to that drywall and everything. So it is tough to change as far as if you try and go down to a single door, then you can do some framing and some work from the outside, but then you got to kind of cover this opening where this door used to be. And is it set in brick? Is there brick on both sides of that door?
Yes, there's a brick.
Yeah, that's typical with that age and everything. So then you've got this area. So I have taken some of them and removed walls and done everything to make the door actually active both sides that wide. That's a huge job.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're looking for kind of a, where you leave the door frame, you leave everything in there and you replace just the actual door panel and you make a new door panel fit that opening, fit that door frame. That is very difficult to do, again, and takes a lot of time, a lot of labor in trying to leave the frame and just change that actual door. And that also leaves you with still having a wood door. So it's kind of not the best door for our climate, for our area here in St. Louis. That's why they've changed a lot of these doors now to steel and fiberglass and all of that. So really, you may end up looking at like a custom door maker that can actually make a door and put it in, either put it in that existing frame, or they can make a whole door to change out that will be custom enough to work with that wall.
Where
they custom make it to fit. Because the problem is the door that's false is thinner, not the door itself, but the actual frame, because you've got a little bit of framing and you've got drywall and all that over it. And your other side, it's thicker because the frame comes all the way into the drywall. So a custom door maker might be able to do that, like Scobus or a custom door building company that makes custom wood doors would probably be your best bet, or you change the whole circumstance and go with like a door replacement company where they're changing siding or they're changing framing or they're doing something to make a more modern today style door work out.
Okay, so what you're saying, though, is this, the Sorbus company would only replace one door, but they would make the frame and the door tie into the existing system.
Yeah, so I think, yes, I think they could just replace either just the one door and actually build a door and then install it in that frame, or they can custom make it where it is both doors, and they custom make the new frame and everything to actually work out in that circumstance.
Okay.
So it was a more regular thing in the 50s and 60s that they did quite often in neighborhoods around St. Louis County. And it's not really made regularly anymore, and that's what makes it so difficult. It's just not conventional type of installation anymore. And with labor being so hard and so expensive, and labor being such a focus, that we try and make the materials and the installation time of the materials conventional and very quick and easy to make it work out and save money, but it leaves situations like yours very difficult.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, try a custom door maker and see what that type of system might be, how they can handle that. That's where I would try and start.
And what was the company's name that you just mentioned?
There's a door company out there. There's several, but there's one called Scobus that really custom makes wood front doors.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good one, Randy. That's a typical situation in a lot of the homes of that era that are ranch homes in St. Louis County, that they did a lot of those, and it's definitely difficult. And I have changed some of those out. It's easier to do when you don't have the wall teen off in the other room, obviously. When it is a wide enough opening that you can just cut out all the door and the framing and create a wide opening and get a door that fits in that opening that is too wide, or it's a single door centered with the side lights that fits in that width, that is possible, but it takes a lot of work on the interior. You're talking walls and floors and drywall, and it's not just a typical door swap like we're so used to doing. And those doors are usually, they're kind of between like 5 and 6 feet, so they're not a standard width. So you're still kind of having a custom width door put together, even from a traditional kind of manufacturer you can order from. It's not usually a standard size, so that gets you into some more troublesomes of how to get through it and how to find the right door. And it's a sticky situation with changing them. And that's why I think we see so many of them still, because people just kind of go, I'll do some shaving of the door. I'll do some weather stripping. I'll put some padded stuff here and some metal there and see if I can airtight this up without going through all that, because they find out how big a job that is to change that style door. It's a lot to go through. So, hey, anything you need, don't forget, we've got two full segments left all the way up to 1 o'clock. So stay with us. 314-436-7900. Get you right in with me. We'll have more home improvement right after this. Welcome back. Home improvement. Rich Orris here for you today. We've got a lot going on. Got some really good conversations and questions coming in. And for you, for everybody out there, plenty of time left. 314-436-7900 finds me like Pete did. Let's go to Pete and see what's going on. Are you there?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
I was listening to the previous caller about doors, and I thought about my door. I have a cabin north of St. Louis in a very humid area, and I built it about 4 years ago. And I didn't build it. I had it built. But it's got a screen door, which appears to be plastic. I don't know what it is. It's not wood, and it's not metal. It's some kind of plastic, and it's a beautiful door, and doesn't have to be painted or anything. But the problem I've run into now is it has warped a little bit, so it doesn't fit flush. If I push in at the bottom, the top sticks out. If I push it in at the top, the bottom sticks out. Is there some way to remedy that, or do I simply replace it with another door?
Well, yeah, that's definitely a good question, because depending on that material, I have no idea how you would remedy that, especially if it's a vinyl or like a PVC kind of material.
It could be. You had mentioned fiberglass. I don't think it's fiberglass, but I think it could be PVC. It's a great finish. It still looks great, but it is a little bit warped.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could say is trying to see if you could kind of try and force it back over time with just some kind of, I don't want to say clamp, but if it's sticking out in one spot, if you could put like a block or something at the spot where it's going in, and then and kind of hold it out on purpose, and then push the other, like force it back in where it's kind of bowed out, and then find a way to hold that where if you could hold it there for a few days or something to see if maybe it starts to work it back, if you left it for the weekend and came back or something, and maybe it would kind of straighten back out. But that's very tough, because it's when you've got something that's like 80 inches tall in a material like that, and that's with composite materials, with fiberglass, with all the composite type of PVC deckings, composite deckings. The biggest issue with all of those materials are they're not structural, so they warp easily. And when you build a deck, that's why a lot of these materials are like, well, now you need to put the floor joist 12 inches on center because it's thin and it can warp and move. And when you attach a board to the outside, you have to put screws like every 10 or 12 inches all the way around to keep it from warping. So when you have a door like that with just two or three hinges on one side, the other side, we have the same thing with kitchen cabinet doors, even with wood, where they kind of go, well, we'll only make a door so tall because it's bound to warp. So if playing around with it like that and nothing really works, then I would probably try and go to an aluminum screen door, because that's not gonna really warp like that. That aluminum metal is gonna be thicker, and it's gonna be made to hold better.
I just had another idea, and it's probably pretty silly, but you know that industrial type Velcro? If I put a Velcro at the top and a Velcro at the bottom, and at the night when the door has to be closed all night, I just push those two together, and maybe that might help. I don't know.
Yeah, something just to kind of hold it in.
Yeah.
Because I've seen things like that warp, and I've seen them come back again. Kind of, you know, straighten them out. The other thing, if it is like a PVC, would be warmth. Like, do that in August when it's 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a slight heat gun or something as you do that to kind of warm that thing up, because that's some of the stuff that when we use PVC trim, once it gets warm, that's when it starts warping and moving and that sort of thing. So the warmth might put it back also.
Well, it sounds like I have several solutions to try. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no problem. That's a clever one. That's something could be worth just playing around with and seeing how it works. But aluminum's probably going to be the best bet. But I did want to get back here a little bit into the companies, the rain, the leaks, the hail, the tornadoes, the storm, talking about using local companies is such a good thing when these companies around are coming around and they follow these storms. I mean, I'm sure they're not all bad, but I do feel like what I've seen happen from a lot of them and seen the recourse a few years later when they're like, I have no idea who the people were that did this. They came in, they went out. I tried to find them. I couldn't find them. And so what you really need to think about during this, and I know everybody's busy and it's hard to get local people and it could take a lot of time to get a good local company to come and replace a roof from storm damage. But really, if you think about it, these companies coming in from other states, there's a lot to be concerned about. With one, they're not going to be properly licensed for our area, maybe insured. I mean, that would be a really good question, is how does that insurance move around with them, workman's comp? Checking into all of that and really making sure that that's there. If something goes wrong later, I've seen a lot of that over the years. I've been doing this a really long time, and there's very little recourse when something goes wrong, when you can't even find who they were or how to get them back. So there's a lot. And then you've got local building codes, local things going on. Me going down to Florida and being amazed at houses of how are the foundations, how they don't have basements, how they don't have gutters, all of this. There's, for me to go down there, I'd have a lot to learn about housing to really figure out that area. And all the areas are different like that. So as they're running around and getting into different areas, then you've got workmanship warranties. I mean, how does that really work? What's really happening there? I mean, there's just so much. And then they disappear after the job. They're gone. They're not around for any of those claims. They can't really fix anything. Like Gail was saying, she called her roofer and was like, can you look at this? You do siding too. And because of the storms, they're probably a little backed up. But she had the roofer to call. And that's a great thing. That's half the battle right there, is having the people around to call and to figure out. So we've got Mike on the line. What I'd ask is if we're going to take a short break real quick, Mike, if you could hold the line, we'll get to you in the next segment as soon as we return. If anybody else has anything, again, just like Mike, 314-436-7900 will find me in the next last segment. We'll have more for you. We'll get to Mike right after we return. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. As promised, let's just jump straight to the phones. Let's get to Mike and see what's going on. Mike, are you there?
I think I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks for calling. What you got going on?
I got a leaky basement. It's in South St. Louis. It's been built on a clay mine. There's been a lot of settling over time. And I have a sidewalk next to the foundation. The foundation's about 4 feet below grade, and I get some water in there. So the sidewalk slopes towards the foundation, so I'm getting pooling of water against the foundation and the sidewalk. I was wondering, best way to change that sidewalk, either tear it up and put all new sidewalk in, or polyjacking, mud jacking, and then somehow, I guess, caulking the sidewalk to the foundation seam.
Yeah, so you're 1,000% on the right track there with all of that, and it's definitely based on kind of lasting value of how long do you want or need this to last for you. How do you plan on staying in the home for quite a while?
Yeah.
Okay. So any of those solutions are perfectly fine with the ground, with the foundation, everything there. You mentioned caulking that concrete to the foundation. That is a great idea, because you want to get that water, even if it slopes, you get it sloping the right way, you can still get water running down between there. Take as much of that water away, as far away as you can as possible. So getting that sidewalk to slope again, you can mud jack it, you can poly jack it. And those are both great solutions. It's just about kind of a time lasting thing and the question of why did it sink. So if you do either mud jacking or poly jacking and the ground continues to shrink, eventually it's just all going to go down again. And you may need to do it again at another date, which is could be okay again. But if you want it to really last the longest, so poly jacking is supposed to be somewhat better than the concrete flowing kind of mud jacking. It's less weight, so it's not putting as much pressure and everything on the ground as far as adding weight to it and making it shrink down and sink again later. So poly jacking is a little bit better and a little bit faster in getting it to work and everything, and it resists more water than the mud jacking material does. But if you go and you replace that sidewalk, then you have the opportunity to add more rock, tamp the rock, really get the ground to settle good and work on the ground that's underneath it. And you can drill and you can put pins into that foundation. So kind of like little pieces of rebar that come out and go into the new sidewalk pour, that even if the ground does start to settle, that can help hold it for a while, adding to the length of time that slope going the right direction may end up lasting. So your longest lasting value in the project and product in the end is going to be new concrete done really well, tamped rock base, put some pins into the foundation to kind of help hold it up, and you'll get a lot more lasting time out of that. Then you caulk that to the foundation, you seal to keep water out of the actual sidewalk itself, put sealer on it, caulk it to the foundation, make that water run away in the right direction.
So I understand. A friend of mine said that he don't like either mud jacking or poly jacking because as it moves the slab of concrete up, it creates void underneath.
I mean, it can, and basically the pinning of new concrete could literally 10 years down the road, everything could be still functioning really well, but you could have a 1-inch or 2-inch void underneath that concrete because it's being held up by those pins into the foundation. Cause this is, you know, if the ground is settling and if the ground continues to settle, no matter what you do, it's going to want to go back down eventually in the end, somehow, some way.
Right.
It's how long can it last?
This is in an area that was built on a clay mine.
Yeah.
And the house is built in 36, I think. So I think a 90%+ of the settling is done. But having just recently bought the house, I wasn't sure. So
yeah,
that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. So it's really, do you want it to last? Because then there's the level of investment, too, where the mud jacking is going to cost the least. Poly jacking is a little bit more than that. They claim it's somewhat better. And then, of course, replacing the sidewalk is going to be way more than both of those. But when you look at, like, do you get 2 years out of this, 5 years out of this, and in 15 years or 20 years out of that, that's where you got to kind of weigh your option and see how,
right,
you know, how where's that investment work for you, and where's that time work for you? How much time do you think you really, really need with it? Someone that's moving next year might go, yep, mud jack that, get things rolling the right way. I'll put some caulk on it, and it all goes away, and it's perfect. And if it lasts 1 to 5 years, I'm good because I'm selling this house anyways. And that's really all the warranty you get out of it anyhow. Because most mud jacking and poly jacking will still say manage water, caulk, do the things to get the water away, or eventually it will just sink again.
I want to thank you, and this show is absolutely phenomenal, and I'm glad you're on the air.
Oh, I appreciate that. You're very welcome, Mike. Thanks for calling in. And a great question. And the only other thing I'd throw on top of that is if you or anyone out there, you go to the new concrete, it's kind of the same as any other thing, any type of work you have done. There's different levels of how they mix the concrete, what's in it. When you get concrete pricing, you will get costs that varies dramatically, and it's all about who's doing it, how are they doing it, are they local, have they been in business, what kind of mix are they doing, are they going to seal it or not, is that a part of it, all these different steps in that, just the cost of the truck showing up with a different mix, with a different amount of Portland and a different type of limestone rock that's state approved versus some that's not. Just the cost of the truck can vary greatly. So when you see concrete pricing and you're like, well, this guy's $1,000, this guy's $2,000, this guy's $3,000, well, ask them why. Ask them what they're doing and really get an education on how that's done, because there's a big difference out there in the type of concrete, how it's put together, what they do underneath it. I've replaced driveways that they just put the concrete right on the dirt and there was no rock base, and we tore it out and was like, yep, we had to redig it, re-rock base, tamp, do the whole thing to get that driveway to last. And they had a brand new driveway that didn't last 5 years. And that is just, that's very unfortunate. So you got to be careful that way too, and really interview and really talk to your concrete company. If you want a recommendation of a great concrete company, you can call our office at Mosby Building Arts and say, I'm looking for some concrete work. Who would you recommend? They'll let you know. Our number there, 314-909-1800. That can get you a lot of good recommendations, even on stuff that we don't do. So always feel free to reach out just to find out. There's a lot we do, but there's a lot we can also help with maybe that we just don't even do. So, hey, had a great time. Appreciate all the calls from everybody. Really good. Glad to be back. Had a fantastic time. Remember, be good to each other, be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week.